Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're sitting in our single ladies roundtable talking about good single women. My guests are Karen Alston. She's an entrepreneur, founder of the women's group, The Spectrum Circle. She's in her mid-40s, single with no children. Diana Ramsey, she's an author and speaker. She's in her mid-30s. She's also single with no children. And Vanessa Mims, she's a real estate agent. She's in her late 30s. She's divorced, and she's the mother of three. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. April, calling from Waldorf. What's on your mind, April?
Hi, Harold. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Go right ahead.
My comment is that I am actually a single mom of four, and what I have noticed about myself is that I really like being single. And it's not like I don't want, you know, to have a companion, you know, with me, but I don't want a man who actually comes with a whole bunch of complaints and expectations. So being a single, you know, mom and just being a single woman has made me look better at myself. Hmm. And I enjoy being single.
Okay. April, thank you so much. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Stephanie calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Stephanie. What's on your mind? Stephanie, are you there? Give me a call back if you can. Diane calling from Maryland. What's on your mind?
Hi, good evening, everyone.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I was just calling to comment. I'm married. However, I have a lot of friends who are around my age, early 30s, who are not married, who are looking to get married. But in that same time, while they're looking and waiting, they've become very successful. They've achieved a lot. Mm-hmm. They've earned several degrees. And they feel as though some men are intimidated by that.
Diane. Oh, there's the intimidation factor. Okay, go ahead.
Men are, maybe they think that woman is a bit more of a challenge. And at the same time, my friends, they don't want to take care of a man either. I think one of your panelists mentioned wanting a man to be a man. And I just feel as though, and they feel as though, some men, not all of them, but some kind of sit back and just say, well, I'm a man, here I am, just take me as I am. Am I not enough? But what are men doing to make themselves more appealing to these successful, good women who are out there?
Hmm. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Diane. I appreciate it. Okay. So what about what Diane is saying about the intimidation factor? I have my own thoughts about that. Mm-hmm. I'll share them with you in a bit.
Saw your face go up.
Yeah, because, you know.
But it's the same. The same can be said about men being intimidated. I mean, about women being independent. I mean, we throw these words around upon one another, and we don't know how they make each other feel. Like, I just want to live my life, and that's what I'm doing. I'm just living my life single, free, and black. I go out with my girlfriends. I drink wine on the weekends. I enjoy writing my books and teaching other women how to believe in themselves. And then if I want to go out on a date, guess what? I do that too, and then I go home to myself.
Okay, but has anyone here ever had a man who says they were intimidated?
Yes.
They use those words.
What? I am intimidated.
Okay, so hold on. Now, Vanessa, what was so intimidating?
He recognized the good woman that had her stuff together, so he knew that he had to step his game up.
Mm-hmm. So he didn't have his stuff together.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let me back up. For a man who has his stuff together, mm-hmm. is he still intimidated?
Yes. I've had that, too. I've had a man tell me that I am like forever, and he's not ready for that. So no matter whether he had his stuff together and I had my stuff together and we had amazing times together, he still told me I was just a little bit too much.
But see, I appreciate that because that's honesty.
Right. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Sometimes the man is not looking for forever. He just wants now.
But there are some single games out here.
Exactly.
And we've all probably dealt with that. The single swerve.
I want to comment on this in that This is something I deal with all the time. You know, I remember distinctly going on a first date years ago where the man said, okay, before this date gets started, how much money do you earn annually?
Wow. That is something.
And
that's kind of rude.
That's real different.
And he was serious and he wanted me to answer the question. And when I answered the question, he said, okay, well, enjoy your meal because we can't date.
But you answered him and told him a figure?
Because he said he couldn't date anyone who earned more than he did.
Well,
you know, the other thing, too, I want to say this for women, and I tell this to women all the time. I think a lot of women self-select and put themselves in a box.
What do you mean by that?
The box of, well, if I have a master's, I have to date someone with a master's. Or if I went
dating
to...
Dating up.
Right. As opposed to looking for the guy who's going to treat you well, who's a wonderful man. There are a ton of men in this area. And what I hear from women is, oh, I have this white collar job and he's a blue collar man. And there's some stigmas attached to that, as opposed to saying, okay, I can date the guy who has the great job, who may make as much money as you do with overtime. He just doesn't have that quote unquote good GS-12 that you're used to and that you want to date.
Well, let me say this before I go back to the phone lines. Two things. First of all, about the whole intimidation factor. And I believe that, you know, while it is true that in your case, Diana, that it is quite possible that you may be doing the most for him or what have you. Okay, right. I get that. I do think, you know, the reality is that there are a whole bunch of guys out there that at best they may not feel compatible.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
At worst, they don't like you.
Right.
And I don't mean I don't like her, but she's not my type.
It's honest.
Okay.
Right.
And I think that, and that women can also feel, you know, the same way, you know, about them. But on the other hand, the other piece that you were talking about, Karen, I believe that you're right in women and sometimes men also self-selecting that on paper. He may have the pedigree.
Right.
He may be, you know, master's degree from HBCU. He right. could be Ivy League, you know, raised in the same city. You all have the same likes and dislikes.
And be a mess.
Or boring.
Exactly.
Or you're not interested.
Compatible.
Or not, not interesting, not fun, no sense of humor. Right. And I think that is, in my opinion, speaking for the brothers, that could be.
And
you know,
I mean, that's a great point that you bring. I mean, the first, and you asked that question, why are you single?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's as if to say there's something wrong with that option, or that you are meeting all of these men that are compatible, and then there's something about you that makes that just not happen. I mean, I've dated men and thought everything was straight and great, and we were going down the road of relationship, right? I was skipping, walking on the clouds. And then one day he woke up and was like, you know what? I ain't really with this. Mm-hmm. And disappears and hit me with the swerve. That's what I call a single swerve.
Was that a swerve? Yeah. We call that Houdini. let me go back to the phone lines. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Morris calling from Northern Virginia. What's on your mind?
Good evening.
Hey, how are you?
For the opportunity. Fine. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you and the panel. Good evening, ladies.
Hi, Morris. Hey. How are you?
I'm fine. I think a lot of the problem with men and women at this point in time is social as well as economic, but I think it's more social than it is economic. And what I mean by that is somewhere along the way, black men and black women have lost the ability to function or do that dynamic dance that's expected between a man and a woman in a relationship.
Real briefly, because I've got a lot of folks on the line, what do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is somewhere along the line, we both have to share the reins. At different times, different ones have to take the lead. And whatever strength that each one portrays or has, we have to capitalize on that and not let it be such a thing of, well, I know this, so I should take the lead. Or I know this, and I should take the lead all the time. I think it's a battle that's been placed there, and somehow it's gotten there, and we can't make it back to where we were.
Okay.
And I say that coming from a solid family. My parents were married for 65 years before my father passed.
Okay.
And I've seen that dynamic dance.
Okay. Well, Morris, thank you so much for your input. I need to take another call. Let me go to Cynthia. Cynthia, calling from Maryland. Cynthia, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hiya. I just wanted to say I've been married for 20 years. I'm 43 years old, and I find that a lot of women who are intelligent, they're successful, they may lack something that I think is very important. Men are looking for women who tend to exude some level of submissiveness, because I think women tend to think, I'm independent, I can do this, and that's what they exude, and that's what men sort of get from them, and so they tend not to want to be with women like that. I feel women can still be, you know, themselves, opinionated, strong, but they still have to have some level of submissiveness. Mm. And men want to be men. I feel strongly that there's so many women that I know who are smart, who has their masters, and they really don't give the time of day to men who they think are beneath them. Those women still aren't able to cook their husbands a meal if they were to get a husband, and I think men are still looking for that.
Vanessa, you were rolling your eyes. I'll ask you to respond, but you got to pull your eyes out of your forehead, please.
Hey, Cynthia.
Now, I understand Cynthia's point, and I understand the whole concept of submission, but you have to give me someone worthy of submission.
Yeah, that's a word right
now,
there.
Now, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Define that.
If I have to remind you of things that men typically are supposed to take care of, you're not somebody that I'm going to submit to. If you're my man and I have to tell you, oh, my car needs an oil change, or I need you to help me with this, you're not somebody worthy of submitting to. So
now here's the piece. And Cynthia, thank you so much. Now, here's the rub, because modern men, and I've heard this from guys, too, is in that. And this is about communication, mm-hmm. because if you've been getting your oil changed on your car
by yourself,
OK, and he may feel, well, if you were doing it before I got here, mm-hmm. why should, and I'm talking about dating. I'm not talking about married and all of that, right. You know, because if you're married, yeah, absolutely. I don't agree with this, but I do know that a lot of guys feel like this.
Well, see.
Hold on. Okay. If you're doing it before I got here, mm-hmm. There needs to be some kind of communication or conversation that says it is okay for me to take over those duties that you've been doing. And see, that's the thing. There needs to be a sit down where right. you can do discussion. This now. Uh-huh. But you've got to make him feel comfortable enough, because he will say, well, look, I'm going to go ahead and get your oil change, because you may be the woman who says, well, thank you, honey. But you may be the woman who says, that's my car.
No. Well, this is the thing. No. This is the thing.
I'm just, look,
your hands up. We're not going to beat you up. This is the thing. And I tell men when I am dating them and when I'm interested, do not court me like you have courted every woman, because I'm not going to be interested with you like I'm interested in every other man. Coming in my house and taking out the trash, that's nice. But I don't actually need that.
Well, see, but that's what she's talking about.
Well, what I'm saying is, at this round table, this is a round table, right?
But that's what
she's
talking about.
Should we be dating other people the same way we dated the last person? No. Would you spend 2017 the way you spent 2016? Those not the same years.
But do you need to make a change? You need to change who you are in 2017, because the great good woman that you were in 2016 just didn't happen to find
you. To evaluate first what worked, what didn't, before you go into 2017 trying to be.
But every man
person.
Is different.
I love what
you're
you
right.
said about communication, right. because her concept and her ideal, her expectation of what a man does and how he behaves may be completely different from my expectation
right.
or her expectation.
Right.
That's what
and
I'm
that's
saying.
Why the communication right. is so key. I have no problem being submissive. I have no problem cooking. I have no problem doing things. I want a man to pay attention to my needs.
Exactly.
And if he's paying attention to my needs and saying, you know what, she needs help with her oil changing because she doesn't think about that, then let me go ahead and take care of that. That means more to me, because that means that man is looking at me saying, where can I help? Where right. can I make her life
right.
easier?
Exactly.
And I will cook all the time for
you will
a man
submit to the
that
right,
does
you
that.
You will submit to the right man.
I got
to the right man.
Two words before we go to a break, and this is the message from men coming from a man. pay attention.
Yes.
There you go.
God.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back. Michael, Alan, and Aaron, you're up next. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Single Ladies Roundtable. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. We're sitting at our Single Ladies Roundtable talking about single ladies being... that was not a curse word. Talked about single ladies in 2016. Let me go back to the phone lines. Alan, calling from Upper Marlboro. Quickly, Alan, what's on your mind?
Oh, hi. First of all, I want to compliment all the ladies, your guests there, on your accomplishments.
Thank you.
I do have a comment and maybe a question. This idea of black men being intimidated by women is ridiculous. If a brother is interested in a sister, and I know it applies to me, we'll go through a brick wall to get to you. Mm. You hear me?
Well.
If the guy says he's intimidated, he's not interested. It's a nice way of saying I'm not interested.
And that's okay.
Now, that's number one.
And what's your question?
The other question is, what I think both men and women, I have both the sexes, when we're supposedly, what is success? What does success represent? Happiness, making money. I've talked to, quote, dated successful, didn't understand finance. Didn't understand anything beyond buying. Now, that is not a criticism of all black women.
Mm-hmm.
Believe me, black men, we absolutely have our insecurities. So I'm going to leave with this. Why can't we, if we're so successful, quote unquote, why can't we learn positive things from one another?
Right.
That's all.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Alan, thank you so much. Well said. Let me go to Joe, calling from Gaithersburg. Joe, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Joe, are you there? Give me a call back if you can. Let's go to Michael calling from D.C. Michael, what's on your mind?
Yeah, a couple of things. One, real quick, I just wanted to say I think if we decide why we're dating before we date someone, we'll have an easier time. Is it marriage? Is it to swerve? Mm-hmm. Once you determine that, it'll look different. I also think that as we raise our men, we don't raise men to be providers. And so we end up with women feeling like they have to do this whole bring to the table thing when most single men don't even have a table. Mm.
Okay. All right. Well, but let me say this about that. Okay. On the whole equally yoked piece, I think that there is something to be said if a guy is if he's just starting out or certainly trying to bounce back, and we've talked about this on this program before, from the ravages of our financial crisis. And some people have bounced back quicker than others. One could argue, well, don't date until you bounce fully back. But the other one is that you do the same, that you do, you bounce back. You try to bounce back with the job and the finances as you re-enter the dating world. And again, I personally think that has to be, you know, a conversation. Do you, and I'm asking the ladies here, do you discount that? Okay, you know, a guy asked you, how much did you make when you were dating? If he's renting and you're a homeowner, is that
a deal breaker?
No, but I want to point out something, though, and that's the gender bias that happens when we talk about money. Because the man who's the CEO can marry the secretary and no one blinks, no one even raises an eyebrow. But when the woman who's the CEO and marries the guy who's her, you know, administrative assistant, all of a sudden it's all kind of conversation.
She's dating down.
Right, that she's dating down. So there's that women do to each other and society does to us when you are the successful woman and you date someone who, quote unquote, is not at your equal. Now, I do want to say this to your point, and that is that, you know, I'm fine to date a man who is coming back. I think most women are fine to date anyone who is going through stuff because life throws curveballs at us all. The issue is, how, what is the plan to rectify that? And if there is a plan, any woman is going to get behind a man who has a plan. If there is no plan, then that sends a signal to us that, okay, you're not reacting to what happened and you don't have a plan to move forward.
When you have many men that won't even date you if they're not financially sound. And I mean, that's happened not only to myself, but to friends. And I love this discussion, Harold, but one of the things that we're not really touching on is the fact that you have men that are in this dating arena that aren't really trying to be in relationships. They are trying to cut and they are trying to, you know, kind of play that game and do that single swerve. And I think that, I mean, that's something that I would love to discuss.
Well, let us also say in 2016, independent woman does not necessarily just refer to bank accounts.
Well, I don't think it's ever referred to bank accounts.
Right. But that's the way men look at it.
Okay.
That's the way men look at it. They don't look at it any other way.
I see. Okay? Thank you for being honest with
me. They, you know, but, you know, and I've said this, and you know, Vanessa, we've had this conversation. I think that if men just say to some women the objects of their desire, whatever their desire happens to be,
would get it.
That what it is that they're interested in, or I should say not interested in, I believe that they will be pleasantly surprised to say, oh, I'm not looking for a boyfriend either. Bring a toothbrush.
Right. Come through.
But it's also last call. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Right.
So I think that again is one of those conversations. Karen is looking at me like,
Karen is giving you so many looks. Wow. I did not come here for this type of round table.
That's right. I thought this was a Christian conversation. I think that is a reality.
Right.
And sometimes it can be a rude or enlightening awakening once you have that conversation. Let me go to Rita. Rita calling from Gaithersburg. Hey, Rita, what's on your mind?
Hey, Rita.
I just wanted to say that the truth of the matter is there are no good men and there are no good women, according to the Word of God in the Holy Scriptures. That's the answer to the question. There are no good women.
Okay. All right. Okay.
And no good men.
Okay. Well.
Now, I'll add to it that you can say that either God is lying or we are lying to ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? One of the things that I will say, Rita, before I go to the next caller, and this came into, you know, my inbox, and one of our listeners said, both sides need healing. Mm. And I think that is critical, because if that is the attitude, no good women and no good men, I think that is a much, much bigger issue for perhaps not just yourself, but for a lot of people. And so just something for you to, you know, think about as you continue to listen to this conversation. Let me go to Aaron. Aaron calling from Maryland. Hey, Aaron, what's on your mind?
Hi, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing just fine.
I'm trying to get my thoughts together after that last call. So what I really want, and I'll try to be real quick because I get kind of long-winded, especially about this.
Okay.
A couple calls ago, you had a caller named Cynthia who said something about women being submissive, which always, to me, kind of like makes me turn my ears off, because the truth of the matter is that independent black women or independent women in this society are the ones that you actually need, because that independence is where they actually learn who they are. Mm-hmm. So what you fall in love with, what you get to adore, what you get to look at and be just flabbergasted about every day is a product of them actually knowing themselves and being independent, mm-hmm. Number one. The other thing I wanted to say was, the women on the panel, how do you actually, like, what do you say to other women who because it's like it's a lot out here to have a bunch of women tell you that you need to be in a relationship. The pressure that you have to be in a relationship and, you know, just be, a man's everything. How do you encourage a woman to just be herself and then, you know, have somebody fall in love with that? What do you say to them?
Interesting. Interesting point. Anybody want to tackle that?
I am always my authentic self. Mm-hmm. I lead by example. So women, I'm always constantly counseling my female friends and the women who come to me for counsel who are dealing with relationships, and I tell them all the time to be true to who they are. Part of the problem is our society that we've put Kim Kardashian on a pedestal of perfection, and therefore everyone tries to emulate this model that's not realistic. So I want a man to love me for who I am, and any woman should want a man to love her for who she is, because if you go into it with a falsehood, you spend the whole relationship trying to live up to something that you're not.
And see, Diana, that's what we were talking about earlier.
Right.
Because you were saying, well, if what you were doing in 2016 isn't working, do you change for 2017? Can you be your authentic self? If you were being your authentic self in 16, who do you become in 17?
Right. And you know, the thing I would like to add to that is, I mean, you cannot love someone from an empty space. So you got to go to the mirror and you got to look at yourself and you got to like that person that you're auditioning in front of people. You can't tell somebody to love me and you don't love me. Now, quick question. Aaron, are you single?
Oh, boy.
Got a nice sounding voice on this headphone.
See, there you go. Aaron, you started some mess.
Yeah.
And woke over here. Okay.
So I'm going to let you have the last word before we kick Diana out of here.
Don't you kick me out here.
Go ahead, Vanessa. Your final thoughts.
No, I just would love for the men out here just to step your games up. Like, stop relying on technology and the texting. Call women. Ask women out. You see a woman, give her a compliment. Don't expect the woman to come up to you. Some women are old school like me. Me and my girl Jazz talk about this all the time. Like, we want guys to take the lead. We're independent, but sometimes we want to be led a little bit. So step up, guys. Y'all can do it. I believe in y'all.
Well, there you go. Karen Alston, Diana Ramsey, and Vanessa Mims, thank you. Single ladies.
Thank you
so very much. I really appreciate you all coming in. That was fun.
It was
fun.
Wow,
gosh. And I got in.
But
I got out.
I didn't get an answer from Aaron.
Yeah, well, you know. Aaron, give me a call, brother. I'll help you out.